Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So thank you so much for joining us today. We would love if you'd love leave a review down below. Those five-star reviews really do help us a lot. But before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Can't say enough great things about the people up in oh gosh, where are they? I know it's a suburb of Minneapolis. I'm going to have to look that up before the next podcast. But great customer service, so easy to set up and break down. It is, we own three of them. That's probably I've had a lot of people come and try to sponsor this podcast, but I only do sponsors that I truly believe in. I believe in Dr. Dish. I also believe in teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is my baby. It is what allows all these podcasts to go out and stay free and to all of you. So, several ways you can help us out by leaving a review, but also by checking out teachhoops.com. Right now we have a quarterly, three-month subscription that will, not be around forever, but we're trying some new things out. So come over and check it out and have a great day. All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I stopped about episode 500 trying to number which one this is going to be, but it's over 1,000. So gosh, I got to figure at some point as a statistician, I got to figure out exactly how many hours I've spent podcasting.
That's a lot of talking, Coach.
That's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's a lot of talking, but it's also a lot of learning. What I've learned, right. And it's crazy. The amount I've learned over the last 4 or 5 years doing this, The problem is I have piles and piles of all these notes, and then it's like, I got to go through all these things because they're so valuable.
And how am I going to use them?
Yeah. And we were in previously, we were talking about Gene Durden. I've stolen some of his stuff. Like his stuff,
I've used
some of his stuff. Now, some of it, it's like that's what I tell coaches is, and we'll jump in here in a second. You got to take a little bit of everybody, and right. Then make you. That's the key. All right, so Alan, I'm gonna have you kind of, Coach Griffin. I'm gonna have you kind of describe yourself, or not describe yourself. I'm gonna have you introduce yourself, and then just kind of walk us through your basketball journey, kind of how you got into coaching. Kind of how all this progressed, and then sure, we got a couple. We talked pre-talk topics before we came on, but we'll dive into a couple of those too. So I'm gonna.
I'm Alan Griffin. I'm in my 15th year of education. I'll be my 12th year of being head basketball coach, and I grew up a coach's son. My dad was a varsity basketball coach and later turned principal. And so when I went to college, like, I really didn't know people could make money in other ways. Like, I thought everybody had to be a teacher and a coach. And so that's what I gravitated towards. And I actually played football in college at Carson Newman College and played for one of the legends named Ken Parks, passed away a couple of years ago, but was a very winning Division II football coach. And so when I left Carson Newman.
What position did you play?
Well, I was probably one of the best athletes on the field, Coach. I was a punter. And you can tell with my physique now, I mean, just it runs through me.
So before we dive into our post-college so what did you take from that experience that's helped you in your basketball coach?
I learned that coaches have to make some really tough decisions that aren't personal at all. And, I was a coach's favorite. I was a team's favorite. I was, the jovial punter. And I did it right my freshman year. I redshirted. My sophomore year, I worked my tail off thinking that I'd get a chance my junior year. I was, I stayed, I took summer classes going into my junior year, worked harder than I ever worked, got in the best shape of my life, and a transfer comes in, you know, and coaches made that decision for me to be the number two, and something that I had to either make a decision for myself was, do I still want to be a part of this team, knowing that we're the same year, we're both juniors, you know, I'm going to be his number two for the next 2 years. Do I want to keep doing this, or just have fun and be a college student? And I'm very happy that I decided to keep doing it, try to be a great teammate. And, you know, for a long time, I was mad that it was more than a decision if he was better than me or vice versa. But, you know, the coaches had to make the decision for what was the best for their team. And, you know, all 4 years I was there, we were a top 10 team in the nation. So, you know, I learned pretty quick, like, it was a business, and those coaches loved me and cared for me, but they had to do what was best for their football team.
I had this discussion with my team and my students. And this, so the first time I hand back a test or an assessment, I'll give the speech. So let me explain what I'm doing here. I graded these tests. This is not a personal reflection on you as a human being.
Yep.
All this is a snapshot of where you are right now. Like,
and an opportunity to improve.
So if you have a C, it's not because Mr. Collins doesn't like you. So I always spell that out the first time, but it's the same with a team. It's like, and I think the players get it faster than the parents.
Absolutely. Cause the kids are there. They see it. They deep down in their heart, they know that Billy or Susie or Sally is better than them. Deep yes. down in their heart, they know.
Yes. When you have, I'm going to tell you something else. When your teams are better, it's easier.
Oh, yeah.
That when your teams are average or below average, then it's like,
you're losing anyways, coach.
Right. I've had to cut less people as we've gotten better. Yeah. I've had less problems as we've gotten better because I've coached NBA guys or I can't, like 70 collegiate guys. They all know this guy's better than them. And right. they also know that. So you're right. When they look in the mirror and they really say, am I better than this guy? They go, I'm not, probably. Yeah. They'll never admit it, but they know. And 5 years after they graduate, they definitely know.
But see, like me, 15 years after my college career, my memory's starting to fade. And I think next year I might be the quarterback of that team. I don't know. you know, I get better as I get older.
Right. And the thing is, that was the way I, for me, you know, shoot, there was my sophomore year, I was starting my junior year and senior year. I didn't start. I was still captain of the team. I was still a leader, but right. there were better players. Now, did I think that at the time? Probably not. And I wasn't happy about it. I still played a lot, but right. it was like, why am I not starting? Yes, I think those lessons, I think that's why high school and collegiate and youth sports are so important. Mm-hmm. Cause those lessons that you and I learned, you almost got to learn them by hard knocks.
Really and truly. And that's the great thing about sports is, you know, it truly is the memories that you create, the friendships that you create, and those lessons that you get, you know, it's a lot better to get knocked down on a playing field or you know, learn a hard lesson on a playing field than getting to your first big kid job and get canned.
Right.
You know, these are.
And then how are you going to deal with it? It's like, yeah. Well, I'll use my son because he never listens to this. He got waitlisted from his first school that he wanted to go to, but then got into a better school in the next, like that. He was crushed. He wanted to go there so bad. And that was the school. And he got waitlisted. Who knows if he'd have gotten in, but something better opened up. So he learned the lesson that it was like perfect. It was almost perfect the way it kind of worked out. So what happened? So you, after school, after you graduated, then what happened?
Yeah. So I went to school to become a history teacher and a coach.
Okay. First of all, my advice would have been, don't become a history teacher. Because it's like being a Phi Ed teacher. There's lots of those.
Absolutely. So I did the opposite, Coach. My junior year of college, I decided I was going to change my major to religion.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm Catholic. I go to a Southern Baptist college. I changed my major to religion. So, of course, there are just endless job opportunities for me with a degree in religion.
You want to be a priest, I guess.
Well, the thought had crossed my mind. But so I graduate, and still the only thing I want to do is teach and coach. That's right. Still the only thing I want to do. So I was very, very lucky. I sent resumes out to every Catholic high school in the Southeast United States. Every Catholic high school got a resume from me. And I got a call from Pacelli Catholic in Columbus, Georgia. And got an interview.
Where's Columbus, Georgia?
Columbus, Georgia is in the southwest corner. It's right on the Alabama line.
Okay.
Yep. Frank Thomas is from there. There's you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I know the big cities. I just didn't know where that was. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Everything's about 2 hours from Atlanta anyways. So it's the southwest corner of Georgia.
First of all, nothing's 2 hours from Atlanta.
Well, not with the traffic, no.
It's
2 hours to get to the perimeter.
It is the worst. I have driven in every big city. I've driven in New York City. I've driven in Chicago. I've driven in L.A. Atlanta is horrible.
And if you can tell me where Atlanta starts and where it ends.
I bought the Sun Pass because I taught from Florida for about 3 weeks during the pandemic because I was virtual. I bought that little Sun Pass and used that little bypass that you have.
Yeah.
Around Atlanta. Now that saved me about an hour.
Yeah. And sometimes it'll completely backfire on you. That thing will be backed up for hours.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So there's no way for me to get from Madison, Wisconsin to Southern Florida without going through Atlanta.
I'm in Northeast Georgia, and there's no way to get to Florida without going through Atlanta. I mean, it's just that you got to go through it.
Is there a good time to go through it?
Yeah, if you go on Sunday morning, you'll fly through. Sunday morning.
Okay.
That's about it, though.
I mean, I have woken up from Sanibel, which is south of Fort Myers, at like 2 a.m. to try to get around it. It doesn't help. Doesn't matter. No. Doesn't matter. I can leave at 7 a.m. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Like,
rush hour traffic seems to go from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I mean, there's no good way.
Okay. So now I know where that is. Okay. So you got a job there then?
Yeah, I started, and it was the best teacher prep program I could have ever asked for. You know, it was a small school, 200 kids, and I was brought in as an assistant football coach and a middle school basketball coach. Okay. And the following year, the varsity coach at the time left, and you know, small supplements, you know, it's not a state school, so no teacher retirement, you know, little benefits. They had a hard time finding somebody. I'll do it.
Right.
I was 22 years old, so I thought I was good.
It's a vow of poverty to take some of those jobs, to be honest with you. Yes.
Yeah. And, but it was the 9 best years I've could ever imagine. Love those people in that time. And, you know, I grew with that program, and we went from having very few players and no success to making a run into the Elite Eight and having, you know, kids that, you know, I'll treat as my sons forever. So
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then after being there for 9 years, you know, I realized that it was time to start making a little, had 2 kids. So in that time while I was at Pacelli, I also became the athletic director. And so that was kind of my day, was being an athletic director and a coach. And so as I start looking at getting into the public school side of things, I found and got a job as an athletic director in Northeast Georgia at White County High School, and took that job and thought that I was ready to be an administrator, and thought that I was ready to, or I told myself I'd be okay not coaching. And the first day I went to work there in the summer, and I didn't get to go to practice afterwards. I went home and I told my wife, this isn't it. I got to coach. Yeah. And so I stayed there for 2 years, and after 2 years, I had to coach basketball, and was really lucky. Got a job late, and Gainesville High School in Gainesville, Georgia, big 7A school, 2,300 kids. Got the girls' job there, and got on as a school counselor there, and going into my fourth now, and love the school.
Did you have to get a special degree to be able to do that through Georgia?
Yeah. It's I have a master's in school counseling.
Okay. So, and what about the AD? Do you need an AD degree, or is there anything for that?
So, no. Okay. A lot of schools in Georgia are turning to administrators to be athletic directors. You know, 20 years ago, the athletic director or the head football coach was default athletic director, and that changed. And we've seen schools just name sole athletic directors, and now it's starting to become assistant principals who also have athletic director duties. So those assistant principals,
they're not paying you anymore. They're giving you more stuff to do.
That's exactly right.
That sounds like that's like in our district too. It's like that everywhere.
Yep.
So were you coaching? You were coaching boys at Pacelli.
Yeah, I was coaching boys in Columbus, and I coached them for 9 years. And you know, I've never really cared boys or girls basketball. I just wanted to coach. And, you know, got lucky enough to get the girls job here at Gainesville.
Right. So tell me what the hardest, what were some obstacles when you took over the newest job?
Our numbers were real low. We had real low numbers. When I took the job, there were six kids in the program.
How many?
Six. Six.
Yeah. Okay. I had to have you repeat that, like six. Okay. That might be a record. All right. Yeah. Then. So that's obviously an obstacle.
Yeah, and you know, it was really to no fault of anybody. It just, you know, in injuries and kids just falling in love with different activities, and you know, so I tried to get in there and talk kids into playing, and which we did. We've grown the program to over 20 now, and just lost a big senior class, so we're kind of starting over again a little bit.
And so what kind of feeder do you have?
So we're a one high school system with one middle school. And then we have the park and rec department who has just started a basketball program within the last 3 years.
And, okay. Wow. Okay. So do you know what you basically know every year what you have coming?
Yes, for the most part, yes. Yeah, we're about an hour outside of Atlanta, so you know, we do have some kids moving in and out, but for the most part, we know our kids.
What's the biggest employer in your town?
It would be the hospital, or we're a big chicken factory town. Got several poultry plants in our city.
You got to do the Chick-fil-A, man. You got to get your chickens, got to get all that.
Yes, there are plenty of Chick-fil-A's. Absolutely.
I bet there's plenty of Chick-fil-A's. So let's talk about what you sent me when you filled out the questionnaire about your style. I'd love to dive into that and get your thoughts on that.
When, like I said at the beginning, I was a coach's son. So my first job was, all right, Dad, what did you do? And he was, you know, he always saw zone defense. He made his hay in the 70s and 80s, slower style of ball. So, you know, that's kind of what I took into my first couple of seasons, and actually saw a coach running the LMU system and loved what he was doing. You know, I loved watching the team, high school team, score 110 points and playing 10 kids and, you know, getting after it. So got connected with him and learned the LMU break. And that was the first time I actually felt
like – Give me the summary of the LMU system. Give me the Cliff Note version of it for the listeners. Cliff Note
version, you're sending the two down the – we send the two down the right side. If our point guard can rip it out of the basket, as soon as we see hands on the other end of the court, we're making a pass, half-court pass. That two has the green light to shoot the three at any moment. Run the five to the basket, you know. So it's a rip and run. We're trying to get a shot up within seven, eight seconds. And really, what I loved about it is you could really capitalize and run the break off of a made basket. You know, it just wasn't a system to run off of a miss and transition opportunity. So we turned. After a basket into a transition opportunity. If we were running the ball hard and getting it up the sideline.
I love that because I've been playing with that. I think we're going to be doing part of that. So the key is that first 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You have the time right because that is the best shot you're going to get.
That is the best shot you're going to take. And in high school basketball, in my experience in high school basketball, and I've always coached really great kids, but regular athletes. Okay. So if a regular high school athlete holds the ball longer than two dribbles, what are they going to get? A lot of times the other team's going to get the ball, you know? So right. I felt like I had more control running the LMU system than I've ever had control running anything else, which was my biggest surprise going into the system. I thought I was going to lose control going into it, but I actually gained some just because we got programmed.
Explain what you mean by gain some.
I knew the shots we were going to get every time down the court. Able to put, and I had the pieces, you know, high school ball, everything's about the pieces. What gets off the bus? You know, really cut my teeth coaching football and, you know, these old South Georgia football coaches. We're going to do what we do, coach. We're going to do what we do.
We're not going to worry about anybody else. We're going to do what we do. And we're going to do it well. Yeah, I've heard that so many freaking times. It makes my head spin. Yes.
But if you ain't got it coming off the bus, you better start thinking a little bit.
Right.
So, you know, I had a great point guard and I had a kid who could shoot the absolute – He was actually finished the season at Pacelli shooting 47% from the three. And he made, I think, 81 threes. You're the math guy. So
that's crazy. Well, yeah. my son and one of his friends who were going to both play collegiate basketball. They were in the gym and they were both shooting like 60-65% on the Dr. Dish. And my son goes, "Is that good?" I go, "Empty gym, no one defending you. You should be at 60-70%. Yes.
Yeah. Especially when you fall in that rhythm. Yeah.
I said, "That's not a problem." I said, "Take 20. Was that a good day?" Yeah. Cause you're probably, I put a defender out there, you're probably in the 40% range. We can live with that, especially at the distance you're shooting from. But it's like, yeah, and I've said this in a couple of my recent podcasts. This is again, COVID and me having too much time on my hands. Yep. There's basically four times on a basketball court. You're on the offense, you're on the defense, or you're transitioning to offense, or you're transitioning to defense. Mm-hmm. The other two people don't spend practice time on, mm-hmm. right? Transitioning to defense. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is that like short window of when, you know, you probably can get 25-30% of your shots in that transition in that first 5 seconds if you work it.
And so when you do work transition, and this is what I liked about it, coach, when you do work transition defense, how do you teach it?
How do
shot
I
goes, Shot goes up. Yeah, or how do the masses teach it? Shot goes up, shot goes in the basket. Where are you going? Let's say if you're man-to-man defense, how are you picking up? What are you doing?
Right. Well, most of them in our league, they're only sending a couple to the offensive glass and everyone else is getting back.
Yeah, getting back with their head pointed in the other direction. A lot of teams are going free throw line and out, right?
Right.
So I'm telling my two, you're getting to the corner. As soon as you hit the wing, your hands are up and you're looking for the basketball. I'm telling my one, you take one dribble, and if you make eye contact, you're getting it to him. And my two's job was, if nobody's in your face, you shoot the basketball. So a lot of times, just in transition defense with a kid running back.
What about your three? Do you have your three go to the other side?
Three runs to the left side, and he would run left block. So he's taking a big loop to the left block.
And do you always have them run down the same side of the court?
Yes, I did. And one of my first I used to hate that
as a player. Because if I'm a two and I'm on the left side, just let me stay on the left side. Because I'm like.
And we fought that hard when we first introduced it. We fought it hard, but I had a specialized team. I had a kid, my three, is now playing Division I football as a running back. Okay. Couldn't shoot the basketball.
Right.
So we're gonna take that three from the right side. We're gonna run to the basket on the left side.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking my team next year, and I'm thinking, man, I got like four point guards. I got like three shooters. It's like we were just talking about this as a staff, which is all of you that are listening should do. You should get together on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's like we're just gonna go. Like fill a spot. If you're the first one down, go. Like I don't care because.
And what I loved about my group in the LMU break is my 4-1. I had a team of 10 guards.
Right.
My 4-1 were the same kid. Whoever got to the ball first became the four. The second one was curling out to be the one.
One. I love that.
So those two guys were interchangeable.
So what's a downfall of that system?
The maintaining a lead, because you're working. In our Sweet 16 game several years ago, we went up, I think, 75-50, and we came out at half, and we made three threes in a row, and we got hot, and we were up 70-50 at one point and began to stretch the lead, and, you know, runs happen. When you're a shooting team, you're going to live with the die.
I know, but so the issue is, how do you turn it on and how do you turn it off? The sock.
Right.
I
mean, and you're really hoping you stay on because,
right.
You know, you are what you work at. You work at. So.
We were thinking about this too, because we're going to have a bunch of guards. It's like, all right, so at what point do we just pull you out? At what point do we turn the socket? Like, okay, I've watered the flowers in the front yard. They don't need any more water. I'm going to go turn the faucet off, and I'm just going to let them sit there till tomorrow. There's a point where I'm just going to spread you, because there's no shot clock in Wisconsin. I don't think there is in Georgia
either. We just got it.
You just got it this year?
We're in year two of a three-year implementation.
Okay. So that's different for the shot clock people than they're not. But we haven't come up with the exact time, but like, we're up 20 with 4 minutes to go. We're pulling you. It's over. We're pulling you out. Let's go. Yeah. We'll just shoot free throws.
When we got really good, that's exactly what we did. We went four corners, pull them out, and we would start playing with folks. And there's nothing more fun than to score off of a four corners.
It's demoralizing, too.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, you take 48 seconds off the clock, and then you score. It's like you literally, you can just.
A little backdoor layup, you know, it's just.
Back cut. It's like you hear this, like, the air just going out of it. It's like, all right, let's get on the bus, guys. Because
that's one of the few times I'll ever sit down coaching. When we do that, I'll sit down, cross my legs.
I'll turn to my coaches and go, turn out the lights. The party's over, baby.
Yeah. And I feel okay doing it because I've taken enough on the chin to enjoy the ones I get.
Right, right. And the thing is that for coaches that are listening, you got to have that. But then when you're on the other side, what's your plan on the other side? Like, so, you know, I'll follow it. I mean, I'm going to make this thing. I'm going to get you home so you can't go to Chick-fil-A because it closes at 10. This thing is going to take 3 days because
my first thing is a 1-3-1. The first thing I'll go to is my 1-3-1 half court.
Yeah, I like some run and jump, and this will go down to the when I'm in like 3 weeks. I'm releasing my funnel down defense, which is basically it's basically, I'll give you the gist because by the time this goes out, it'll already be released. It's basically we funnel to the sides. We call them, we use a bowling analogy. So we want the ball in the gutters, which is the outside courts. We don't want it in the alley, and we put you down in the strike zone, which is a short corner.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like, no matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify. We love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.